It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
What does your story and your stick around, your fight, your attitude say to all of the underdogs, all of the walk-ons out there?
I mean, I have no clue.
I love that. Sometimes you don't have a clue. You're going through it in real time, and all you have is faith in yourself and hope. But one thing we do know, and this applies to all of us, underdogs are still dogs. Georgia's national championship, let's go.
What you did there,
Tone. A lot of pressure to answer that question.
It's
a good question, and it's a better answer.
I had no clue.
The Stetson Bennett story. I mean, he was a walk-on. Locker number 112A, which he had to share with his walk-on roommate. And then he went to junior college, and now he's the second quarterback to go from walk-on to championship. Brian Greasy did it about 25 years or so. There was the Kirby Smart story, you know, about Kirby Smart's elevation. We'll talk about that later. There was the defense, Jordan Davis, Nakobe Dean, Nolan Smith Jr., Lewis Cine, the way they were all-time all season, but then had to let up in that one game versus Alabama in December, but came back ferocious. 41 years of pain, an Alabama-induced trauma, exercise, and gone. The Georgia Bulldogs are national champions. Israel, you had this right. How did Georgia pull it off?
Well, for starters, and I mentioned yesterday about how that Georgia defense should look more like itself in the national championship game. They definitely did, not just in the passing game, which we'll get to that in a second, but in the running game. Alabama could not run the ball. Even if you don't take away the minus 43 yards for Young's sacks, they still only ran the ball for 73 yards and like about 3 yards per rush, and which is really not giving that Georgia defense much to think about there. And then in the second half, when, you know, you needed a couple of big plays to maybe get that offense going, you get the 67-yard run that led to their first touchdown, you get a couple of big Stetson Bennett passes, then all of a sudden it feels like everything's working for that team. On the other side, Alabama with Nomechi and with Williams going down, it felt like Bryce Young, who didn't really get touched in that SEC championship game, was not only under pressure, didn't have the weapons he's used to, and didn't have the reliable people that he can go to down the stretch to complete that comeback. So it was definitely Georgia looking more like itself and Alabama having some, you know, some flaws because of personnel, basically.
Harry Lyles Jr., you had this as well. How did Georgia pull it off?
It was this defense. This was a historically great defense. We knew they were going to be at the start of the season. And listen, the game early on, I saw a lot of people complaining about how, oh, this is a defensive struggle. This isn't fun. I'm not buying that. Those two teams were fast. They were ferocious. That was an entertaining first half of defense. And of course, Georgia ended up stepping up on offense in the second half and getting that done. I want to give Stetson Bennett a lot of credit because we did not think that a team would be able to win a title again in this manner. The SEC prides themselves off of having the fastest and most talented players in the country. Nobody thought of Stetson Bennett in that fashion. And even when he tripped up and had a fumble, he came back 4 for 4, 83 yards, 2 touchdowns to win the game. Incredible story.
Tim Kalishaw, you had Georgia. You had it right. How'd they do it here?
You know, I think Harry's right. This reminded me of LSU and Alabama when they played twice. You know, about a decade ago, it was all about the defense, and finally Alabama's offense got going in the championship. This one looked more like, in the first half, Alabama had a little more in the way of weapons, and they were gonna do it even though they're just kicking field goals, but then they lost Jamison Williams, and that kind of leveled the playing field. I think Georgia's running game, when it got going, Izzy mentioned Cook's big run, and Zeus White had a couple first down runs. That kind of freed up Stetson Bennett, that it's not all on him, and he can do some damage with the passing, and then the defense took it.
And Ramona Shelburne, you did not have this game right. That's an unfortunate turn of events for you, but how did you see Georgia pull it off?
I just think they have more grit. I mean, Harry was mentioning Stetson Bennett coming back from that game, from that fumble where he had, I mean, that was, I don't know how he didn't just melt into the ground after that fumble. I know it was a tough call, but giving the ball to Alabama inside the 20 for a key play like that late in the game. I mean, he came back from that, and we want to write a movie about him now. I know Marty Smith was writing, he was on air writing the lines. It was amazing. The guy's great. It's a good story, but that's not why they won. They won because they had a better defense, and they made better plays than the Alabama receivers. I mean, Kylie Ringo, he read Bryce Young so well on that last pick six. He was better than the Alabama receivers.
Okay. You know, I think you just wrote yourself into the story. People were doubting him even after the championship. They said he wasn't the reason why they won.
Rat poison.
Bryce Young blaming himself for this loss. That's tough to hear. You hear it from players, you know, after every game. But tough when you consider they were out Mechie, you know, with his injury last month. They were out Williams in this game. Harry, is this game different if Mechie and Williams play?
I don't think it's different. I do think that you have to consider those as factors. But when we're talking about a team like Alabama, the reason that they have been the greatest dynasty that college football has ever seen is because they have 4 and 5 stars behind 4 and 5 stars. So I don't think that that should be used as a reason to say that, well, maybe Georgia got lucky because they were injured. I do think that a key here is that Georgia's defense did what they absolutely had to do in this game, and that was not just get more pressure on Bryce Young, but also to get to him, and they did that.
If Williams plays the whole game, if Mechie is healthy in this game, Tim Kalishaw, does Alabama win it?
I think they do. I mean, I think it makes it a different game. Georgia really couldn't handle Mechie in the last game. He had 97 yards before halftime when he got hurt. It doesn't change anything. I mean, injuries are part of every football championship, and Alabama needed to have they needed Ohio State's wide receiver depth that they showed in the Rose Bowl. That's what Alabama needed to give Bryce Young time last night, and they just didn't have it.
Israel, you talked about how it was the opposite game for Bryce Young, and this is the first time all season we've seen him in this way, right? And even at the podium last night, you could hear Nick Saban. It was a glorious moment when he said, these guys are more than just this one game, and that's great to hear, but do you believe this one game could have gone differently if they would have had their full roster?
It could have. It easily could have because of those guys' talent. But I could understand where Bryce Young is coming from when you consider that last game in the SEC Championship, 420 and 3 touchdowns, probably the best game of his young career. And now he's like, well, I should have been able to do that again. Maybe I should have, maybe not as close because my two top stars aren't there at the wideout position. But he also got under more pressure in this game, and it wasn't exactly like all those throws were available to him. This Georgia, that Alabama team needed to win that SEC Championship even to get to this point. Georgia probably didn't, and so the urgency was certainly higher for Georgia in this one, and it showed on that defensive side. So Bryce Young can't take the blame for it. He was definitely under
pressure. And Ramona, when you hear Bryce Young take the blame like he did, what were you thinking?
I was thinking he's a leader. This wasn't on him at all. I mean, after Jameson Williams gets hurt, he's 1 for 8 for 20 yards and 2 interceptions on throws over 20 yards. I mean, he just had no downfield threat. And so many of those drops were really consequential. And not even just the drops. There was a lot of plays where the receiver turned the wrong way, went the wrong – even the last play of the game with the pick six. I mean, he throws it, and it just looked like the receiver and him were not on the same page. Like, the receiver went long, and then he threw it underneath. He just didn't have that rhythm that he normally would have with his wide receivers. And, you know, I give him a lot of credit for actually taking the blame for that because it really wasn't on him.
Harry, you said something in your previous answer how people didn't think you could win like this anymore if you were in Alabama. I mean, they out-Sabined Saban with an old-fashioned team built on defense and running. A lot of people didn't think that was going to happen anymore. Tim, let's frame this in a question I ask every year. Was this an all-time great Georgia team or a Georgia team on a great run?
I think it's a Georgia team that, you know, has a great defense. And when we're watching the NFL 5 years from now, you're going to watch a game and go, were all these guys on that same Georgia defense? Because there are going to be about 8 of them there. But when you've waited 41 years to win a championship, I don't think those fans are worried about how it ranks. You know, they're just glad to finally get one.
Israel?
Yeah, I think it was an all-time great defense. I think if you look at the way they won games all season long, it seemed to be a formula. It seemed to be around that defense and sort of caretaking an offense and a strong running game. And frankly, I mean, Georgia has sort of tried to have been built that way before, just not at this championship level. So it took that extra gear of the defense to be able to complete.
Harry?
Yeah, we're going to look at this as an all-time great defense, similarly to how we've kind of looked at 2019 LSU's offense and 2020 Alabama's offense as well. I do think, though, that this Georgia team is built pretty well to have a long run if they want to.
Ramona.
yeah, this is a great Georgia team. Just flat out. It's been 41 years since they won. I mean, I was texting with all my friends who went to University of Georgia, and this is like the happiest they've ever been in their whole life. Like one of my friends was like, I was 10 when they last won. I mean, you should see the streets in Athens right now.
I love hearing those stories.
They don't care where they rank.
You know I do. But you're not getting points by telling us you were texting with friends and they were happy.
Okay, fair. I can show you the text. Would that help? No.
Two more questions that are connected. You saw the committee just this week. They failed to approve playoff expansion. And another thing, this was, of course, a rematch from the game a month ago and a one conference final. So, Ramona, did you find yourself thinking this year proved expanding the playoff wasn't necessary? Or did you find yourself thinking maybe it's more necessary?
Well, I think it proved that they are necessary because I didn't care about any other games except for the playoff games. And the Rose Bowl was so darn good, I had to watch it. But the rest of those games, they just become more and more meaningless, especially when you have all the opt-outs and the long break between the end of the
That's the word that was a hot-button topic earlier this week.
I mean, I need a tournament that means something. I need something that builds off it. And there's ways to do that. They just need to get in a room and figure it out and undo the way college football has been
built. Tim, you're shaking your head no.
Well, I'm sorry Ramona found ESPN's entire programming for 2 weeks to be meaningless. But beyond that, I would say this. A playoff is not needed now. It wasn't needed last year. It's not needed in the future. You know, what are we going to do? See how many wide receivers can get torn ACLs on the way to their 16th game? I just don't think it needs to happen. I know it's going to. I know it will. I'm glad it's going to take some time.
Israel Gutierrez.
Yeah, I'm not of the belief that it needs to happen for any sort of competitive playing field or for finding the right champion. I mean, it feels like every year we only have two teams, so maybe we go back to the old BCS formula.
You.
But yeah, I think it's eventually going to happen because of what Ramona was saying was essentially that the games will have more meaning and they'll just be more made for TV, if you will, and more money makers. And I think that's what.
So the point from Ramona and Israel then is
more of those games rather than the bowl.
The champion might not change. It still may be Alabama versus Georgia, Clemson. In LSU,
right.
Ohio State.
They'll dress it up.
But the idea that you're playing more games involving more teams is important just in its own. Harry Lodz, you want to make the final ruling here?
Yeah, I think that it's going to happen, one, because there's money to be made. We know that they like to make more money. And I think, two, one of the things that people that don't like what's going on right now in college football with opt-outs, I think expanding it is probably one of the ways that you can resolve that. For me, I would like to know where that money's going to go if we are going to expand it. I would like to see it in the pockets of the players, and I think that that's going to be another big thing that they have to look at this moving forward.
The amount of people, and you said this, Tim, ready immediately to inflict pain on the NFL that were on the field last night from both teams was just unreal. N'Kobe Dean, though, I love N'Kobe Dean. His face, even at the coin toss, that is a man who possesses knowledge that he has the will to do what others won't. He's scared the coin is going the right direction. And Georgia's O-line love to see dogs in a dog pile. Whee! Getting away with
man.
It. But here's what it was for me. The nominee for coldest championship winning celebration ever. Nolan Smith Jr., the game ending sack and putting them to sleep. Sweet dreams, college football. Oh, please. You can't go straight to Alabama being next year's favorites. Let Georgia enjoy this.
This is what we do.
Buy or sell next.
This is what we do.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
What's up, kiddos? I'm Clinton Yates of Around the Horn. Whenever I go to cover games or attend events in Los Angeles, I'm always keeping my eye out for the best-dressed person in the room. I saw Diego Luna at the Andor red carpet launch event, Star Wars, folks, and he looked head of state fresh. Now you can also be that person, too, whether you're sitting courtside, attending a fancy dinner, or going to a wedding. With a fully custom suit from Indochino, you'll walk into wedding season looking like $1 million for way, way less. They start at just $4.99. With Indochino, you can design the suit of your dreams and fine-tune every detail, including lapels, linings, monograms, pocket flaps, etc. A tailored fit from home. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose customizations without even leaving the house. Look your best this wedding season. at the table or on the dance floor when you wear Indochino. Go to Indochino.com today and use code HORN to get 10% off any purchase of $3.99 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code HORN.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
The quarterback sneak, by definition, is supposed to be sneaky. But when teams do it, usually, it's always third and one or fourth and inches or at the goal line. So I submit to you the sneakiest quarterback sneak ever. Brutally dumb, yes, but none of you saw it coming, so sneaky. New York Football Giants, the team that committed to their coach despite ending the season with six straight losses by a score of 163-56. GM Dave Gettleman is out via his retirement. Israel, how can the Giants sell to their fans and a new GM this team with Joe Judge going forward?
I mean, how can you sell that Gettleman got to retire there? That's almost unfair. He should be in on this, too. Look, I don't know how you sell it outside of maybe, hey, I wasn't the one who picked Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones and maybe, you know, with the right personnel. But, I mean, how do you explain that decision? That's not a player decision when you try to quarterback sneak on third and nine. I don't know how you sell Joe Judge. He's been trying to sell himself over the last several weeks, and he just sounds like he's rambling. So, honestly, no idea.
Larry Giles Jr.?
Yeah, I'm buying that you can't sell this. Look, the Giants' offense has been the worst in the NFL since he's had the job. They're last in points per game, they're last in offensive efficiency, and they're last in yards per play. And if all that was not enough, if you look at the third and nine heard around the world where they did the quarterback sneak, that should have been the final nail in his coffin. If a guy like Brian Flores can lose his job, you have to be able to look at Joe Judge and be like, maybe that's not it.
But Tim, let's get down and dirty in this. This team doesn't have a GM. They're going to be hiring a new GM. Does a new GM take the job and say, I'll ride with Judge here? Or does they're going to bring in their own coach?
But that's a normal thing for a GM to do because it kind of stalls the process on the GM for a year.
To keep I've got Judge.
Coach. Let me see what he can do.
To stall the process.
I don't know what he's been told to do in the past. And so I think it may give Joe Judge another year. It
takes a sinister mind to come up with something like that, and I've got just the man for the job. Ramona Shelburne, the Giants situation right now. No GM and Joe Judge's coach.
I mean, Tim, that take is basically the equivalent of that third down and nine play. You're running the most conservative, boring play, so nothing bad will happen. Like, what is this? I mean, like, if you're a new GM, you want to bring somebody in so you can start winning again. I mean, it'd be one thing if they were playing hard for him, but they lost the last six games by double figures. I mean, they're not.
I mean, he didn't have his quarterback, and they didn't even have his backup quarterback, and the quarterback was Jones to begin with, and it was Glennon after that.
You know who won the last game of the year? The Detroit Lions.
Yes, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Right,
playing
team showed up late. I mean, my point is, you hold a press conference when you're introduced saying we're going to play hard every single game and we're going to play it the right way with integrity, and you go for a sneak on third and nine. Very sneaky, but we'll move on. Buy or sell to Frank Reich on Carson Wentz.
We love the team we had this year. We knew everyone we brought in this year. We expected to play winning football. Next year's roster will be next year's roster. I'm not going to evaluate or talk about any. I don't want to just open it up with one player and then start talking about all of them.
Tim, buy or sell Indy sticking with Wentz next year?
Well, I'm going to buy that he doesn't have to make the decision today, but he also knows this. The Eagles took a $33 million cap hit this year and made the playoffs without Wentz. The Colts got Wentz and didn't make it with him. That's something to watch.
Owner Shelburne?
I'm buying that as an incredible hedge. Carson Wentz gone. That was a great answer.
All right, Harry Lyles, do you think this means Wentz is here or gone?
I think he's gone, but I'm also buying that Frank Reich said the only thing that he could say after the game that Carson Wentz and his team put out in that performance against Jacksonville.
Israel Gutierrez.
I would buy them moving on from him if there is an obvious upgrade, because otherwise you're just moving the cards around and there's no real difference, because there's probably about 20 other teams that are looking to say, hey, can we upgrade at our quarterback position as well? So that's why there's no commitment there.
Buy or sell three, Chauncey Billups calling Kyrie Irving the most skilled point guard in NBA history. Momo, let's go around the horn. Your list of all-time most skilled point guards. Is Kyrie Irving on the list? Is he number one?
Yeah. I think he's number one. I think that's the right answer from Chauncey. I know nobody wants to say anything nice about Kyrie right now, but he is that skilled. I mean, our friend Pablo Torre, when he's not busy hosting ESPN Daily, he used to be a great writer, and he had a story on Kyrie where he said, Kyrie grew up doing lefty and righty layups on a backboard with one side that had a big hole in it, and he'd spin the ball. He is so skilled. His handle, the way.
So the number one most skilled point guard of all time is Kyrie Irving. What a shot you took at Pablo Torre when he's not here.
I know Dame Lillard's on his.
Harry Lyles, most skilled point guard of all time, Kyrie Irving.
I'm not going to buy that he is, but I am buying Chauncey's very careful wording here, because I think when we talk about point guards and we talk about skills, we talk about them having a bunch of tools in their shed. And I think that Kyrie's got a lot of them that makes an all-time great point guard. So I think within this conversation, at the very least,
all right, a lot of words, conversation, and talking about your band right now. Israel Gutierrez, how about you?
I'm going to listen to the other players, and a lot of other players will tell you, yes, he is. And whether it's Andre Iguodala, whether it's James Harden, they'll tell you, yes, he is. The only argument I would have against it is perhaps his passing skills, perhaps not as high as some of the best. But when you combine everything else, yeah, I'd say
Most skilled point guard ever. Kalashaw, you look like you're losing your mind here.
What are we even doing here? What are we talking about? Horse? He can spin the ball better than somebody?
Yeah.
He's basically a shooting guard, undersized shooting guard. He's never averaged 7 assists a game in a season. Ooh. You think his coach was a better point guard? Magic Johnson wasn't a better point guard? There's 20 better point guards. What are we even doing here?
Well, you're going to showdown. Ramona Shelburne, Mr. Gutierrez are going away. Okay, all right. Your point was made. Kalashaw, Lyles, the most skilled debater, will win based on next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Harry Met Kalashaw in Showdown. Bruce Arians saying it'll be a travesty if Tom Brady doesn't win the MVP. Tim, if Brady doesn't win the MVP this year, is it a travesty?
No, but I like Bruce Arians putting it that way. You say something and you say it a little stronger and you call attention to the fact, and then you look at it, hey, his stats are right there with Rodgers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think it's a travesty either. I think he's deserving. I think Bruce Arians accomplished what he wanted. We are talking about it on this show.
Oh, so brilliant. Even in his rookie season, Harry Lyles. We'll move on. Showdown 2, Kirby Smart's jump. Harry, the most athletic move we've seen from a coach. Whoa. Since when? Since ever?
Probably since any time somebody like a Charlie Strong or like that gets in a weight room. These guys can really move weight.
Okay. Tim Kalashaw.
Athletic move. He's kind of tucking his feet up under his knees there to get off the ground. He's also telling the player to hit the ground. He's telling him to go down when he scored a touchdown. You don't want to.
Yes, you know what, Tim? You're right on that. He did it. Wait, you were grading on a curb because he put the heels up? If you tuck the knees, it makes it look higher?
Yeah, you tuck him
veteran
up,
maneuver tuck him from Kalashaw, knocking off the rookie. TC, 30 seconds of fate.
The only way some of us get any vertical jump. A little history lesson. Hall of Fame wide receiver Don Maynard passed away at 86 Monday. Would Joe Namath ever have been Broadway Joe Super Bowl champ without Don Maynard? One of the great AFL receivers of all time. The game before the Super Bowl, 6 catches, 118 yards, 2 big touchdowns to beat the Raiders. Otherwise, the Jets never get to there. Joe Namath doesn't get to make that prediction. Great player Don Maynard, retired as the all-time leading receiver in pro football history.
Tim Kalishaw.
I'm here for my Kalishaw history lesson.
Little history.
We're on a 23 and a half hour break. We'll see you guys tomorrow around the horn.
He had a good handle, too.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.